Hey, good evening, Bay Harbor family, and welcome. Wednesday night, it is 5 minutes till 7, and we are getting ready to dig into part 3 of The Art of Neighboring. I'm here with Pastor John, and we've got about 18,000. No, I'm just kidding. We got a few announcements for you. Just want to chat with you for a minute. How you doing today, Pastor?
I tell you, I feel it today now. Last Wednesday was the bike ride, and I think we've recovered from that somewhat, but I feel, is there such thing as a good tired? You're tired, but there's a good tired. That means you're tired, but it's actually you feel good about it. And that's the kind of way it is today. So a lot going on around here. It's a good tired. There's a lot going on.
Pastor, I'm going to be 44 real quick, and I've been kneeling down painting today. Speaking of painting, have you seen the junior kid mentoring, Pastor?
Looks wonderful.
It's looking good.
Looks wonderful. You know, yeah. We're so excited. God is doing so many wonderful things
in
the church, but more so even out of the church. And we've got baptismal service that's coming up this Sunday at the 12, after the second service at 12:30 at the Wilson Pond. If you'd like to get baptized, please let us know about that. We can try to get you in with that. Working tonight, had meetings about child dedication. People wanted to dedicate their children to the Lord.
And that's the 29th.
The following week. Yep. Excited about that. And the art of neighboring, you know, it's one of those subjects that we're talking to people about. But at the same time, we're doing it. It's just God drawing more out of us than what we're doing right now.
Absolutely. How many dinners tonight, Pastor?
Well, we ran out of ribs and had to go to barbecue, and so well over 450, and I'm just excited about
incredible.
That. So.
And just give you a heads up, if you're watching here, we will not be doing dinners next week. We're going to take the week off for Thanksgiving. Let the staff that work so hard every week just take a break and enjoy their family time. So next week, no dinners from 5 to 7, but we will be going live at 7 o'clock with part 4 of The Art of Neighboring.
Yeah, that'll be the last part of that series. So make sure that as you're cooking dinner or whatever, put it on and listen to it as you you learn the art of neighboring. Maybe the art of family is would be a good topic for next Wednesday night heading into Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and as always, if you've missed some of them, you can go back and catch them.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you can do that. So, Pastor, everything we've got going on, I mean, I see the rooms around here that are full of stuff. We've got the Christmas stuff coming up. We've got all this stuff coming up. And Bay Harbor, we couldn't do this without you. This church gives. The way this church gives, it is beyond me.
You know, there's a comment that was made tonight talking about the food. And there's so much more. We talk about food a lot, but there's so much more. But the comment was made that there's somehow he always makes a way.
Yeah,
we don't know how it is. We don't know how we're able to do Orphan Run for Hope. We don't know how we're able to plug into the ministries that God allows us to be part of. It is through your faithfulness and your giving, and so we get unexpected blessings at times.
Yeah,
and then just takes the load off of it all the way around for us to continue to upgrade, continue to reach out, continue to do what God's called us to do in the community.
Yeah, we make it easy as well, Pastor. If somebody wants to give, you can do so on the app or on the link on the Facebook page. There's a tab you can click there that just takes you to the giving site. And we thank you for what you're doing. And if you want to be a partner with us, on the screen, there's a text to give number. If you can read that, I can't read from where I'm at, but you can text to give many different ways, but we not asking for it now, not doing that. We just want to thank you for what you do.
No. But it amazes me. I hear a lot of people that watches online that aren't walking into the buildings yet. Some still just aren't feeling safe about it. And know this, we're keeping our eye on what's happening around us. We're praying and seeking God for what the future holds. And we're just believing that we're going to continue to maintain the course. But then we also have people that partner with us that don't even live in the Golden Isles area. And so if that might be you tonight, thank you for your contribution.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the way that you give and you comment and you encourage. And it's really, really amazing to see what God is doing for the kingdom. That's what it's about.
Yeah, and on the comments, guys, if you're watching, be sure to comment. Let us know where you're watching from. If you have never done so, if you've never said, "Hey, my name is so and so, I watch you every week," let us know. I mean, we want to talk to you. We want to partner with you. There's also an "I'm new" tab on the app.
Yeah.
And if you'll fill that out, you know, tell them what you might get in the mail.
Yeah, we want to hear from you. And shout out, that's a great idea. Shout out, let us know if you're in Bismarck, North Dakota, or if you're in Brookman, I think. if you're coming from Brookman tonight, let us know that you're out there. Let us know where you're coming from. Yeah, and so we might have people internationally that's watching at whatever time zone there is, and we just love it. We're grateful.
And even if you watch after us live, still come. We go back and catch it. We check it out. Hey, we're time. Pastor, you want to pray before Dave gets started?
Yes, absolutely. Right. We're ready to get into the Word. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, Bay Harbor family. Father, we thank you for the excitement that we feel. Even in the midst of everything that's going on around us, there is an excitement in our spirit for the fact that we know that you are in control. And tonight we ask that you would help us with all the day that we've had and everything that's going on. Would you settle us in the spirit so that we can receive the Word that you want to give us so that we can be better prepared to go out and do what you call us to do. We open ourselves up to you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord, Bay Harbor. So glad that you decided to join us again for this third session of our studies on the art of neighboring. This has been a very eye-opening study. It's been convicting to me. I've spoken to a lot of you through the past couple of weeks, and without a doubt, you've come up to me at several different occasions, different people, and told me how you've enjoyed it, but how it's really been one of those things that was in our face. And honestly, I'm not trying to be ugly, but this is really, I believe, what the Lord is speaking to us during this season. If you've noticed, if you've been here on Sundays, Pastor is now teaching on Jesus, others, and you. And every week, he and I don't discuss what we're going to talk about. But on Sunday, it's almost a prelude to what we're going to be studying on Wednesday. And this past Sunday, if you missed it, shame on you, number one, you need to go back and watch it online. Number two, he talked about the others. And today, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the fear factor, the art of neighboring, and we're going to subtitle this session, The Fear Factor. We as humans tend to lean towards people who are like us. And I'm going to say that's okay because I fall in that category also. But we can look at our friends and the people that are in our social bubble. And I would dare say that there are very few people that are in that bubble with you that are very much unlike you. This is just something that we tend to do. This is something that's not necessarily good for us if we want to grow. I've heard it said that if you're the smartest person in your circle, you're in the wrong circle. It's opposing opinions and opposing views that causes us to step out of our box and step out of our way of thinking and maybe looking at a different view and how that different view is not really bad. It might be something that can expand our view. With people, here we go again with this is just human traits. We have a tendency to look at other people, and I know you've heard this before, you can't judge a book by its cover, but oftentimes that's exactly what we do. We look at someone who looks different than us, and we immediately make a judgment on that person as to what kind of person they are by how they look. Some people, the way they look is a little scary to us. Maybe this person fits a dynamic that you're afraid of. I'll tell you this in my personal experience. I wear my hair real short, but it's not necessarily because that's what I choose to do. There was a time when I had hair up here and I would let my hair grow. There was a time in my life when my hair was about midways of my back, and I know this is hard to believe, as close to bald as I am and a flat top with a little bit of hair that I got. But I actually have curly hair when I had hair. So in my experience with people, I've owned a motorcycle now for a decade or so, and I love riding bikes. And I've met a lot of quote-unquote bikers through my riding with different charitable rides or whatever, and through contacts at the Harley-Davidson dealership where I go pretty often. I have friends there. But bikers, a lot of them are a little bit scary looking. Real long hair, big bushy beards, a lot of leather and chains and jewelry. And we tend to look at those people with a little bit of standoffishness, like, ooh, you know, I don't know about them. But I will tell you from my experience, 95% of the bikers that I have met over the past years of riding a motorcycle have been the nicest, kindest people that you would ever want to meet. Big hearts, super intelligent, nothing like the stereotype that we would put on them. And I say that to qualify what I'm about to say about how we tend to judge people by how they look. This is not at all what Jesus Christ would have us do. I remember one time when my girls were younger, we were out riding around and shopping, or I don't remember exactly what we were doing, but we were in town, and we decided that we was going to go to Pizza Hut for lunch. So we go to Pizza Hut, and I park the car. All my girls are getting out, and I'm looking across the parking lot, and there's a guy with a bicycle, and he had some bags and stuff on his bicycle, but he was beelining it straight towards my family. He was coming pretty fast and coming directly for my wife and my daughters. So I hurriedly ran around to the other side of the car so I could get in between him and them, and he didn't slow down any. And the closer he got to me, the better I could see him. And he wasn't clean at all. He was dirty. He had long, scraggly hair. And I hate to say this, but it's true. I could smell him before he got close to me. And immediately, I'm thinking, this guy is meaning some kind of harm to my family. So I have my family behind me and him in front of me. I'm like, can I help you? Something I can help you with. And he said, yes, sir. And he takes a piece of a palm branch from his bag on his handlebar, and he began to weave it. And he stood there for just a minute, and he said, I just wanted to see if I could show you something and maybe make something for you. And within just a matter of seconds, he had taken that palm from, and he weaved a cross. And in the center of that cross, he had woven a rose. And he went to hand it to me, and as I reached for it, and I'm sure my facial expression was saying everything to him, as I reached for it, he said, you see the rose that I put in the center of it? I said, yeah, I see that. That's really cool. He said, you know why I put a rose in the center? I said, I have no idea. He said, because he rose again on the third day. And at that moment, just like right now, I felt the Lord. It was incredible. And I reached and I got the little cross that he had made. And I said, listen, I want to buy this from you. And he said, oh, well, it's not for sale. I said, well, I have to have this. You have to. I can't put a price on what it's worth to me, but can I just give you a donation and maybe you'll give me this? He said, sure, I can do that. So I reached in my pocket and got my wallet out, and I gave him some money, and then I took the cross, which is I still have. That's been at least 15 years ago. It's in my china cabinet at home. And as I put that into my car, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me just as real as if he has ever spoke to me before. And he asked me, he said, are you listening to my message or are you judging my messenger? And that thing hit me like a ton of rocks. It's a moment in life that I'll never forget. Because I had predetermined in my mind as he is approaching my family as what his purpose was and what he was doing. I've never quite looked at people quite the same since, because we never know. I've heard descriptions of John the Baptist that said, you know, the Bible says that he wears a mantle and it's just tied around him. It's probably an animal skin. And he ate wild locusts and honey, lived in the desert. So I bet he was a pretty rough looking man. Probably didn't smell very good either. I would subscribe that if he came into our church right now during a service that people would kind of be looking over their shoulder, maybe shunning him somewhat. But yet this was the messenger of Jesus Christ. This was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. What I'm telling us today is we cannot judge a book by its cover. So if you've been looking each week, you know about the block map. I still want you to work on that. If you haven't done anything, shame on you. You need to work on that. I was at food distribution this morning, and there was a couple of the brothers that was talking to me that absolutely been working on it. We're excited about it. So I want us to continue to do that. This is something that Jesus didn't suggest to us. He's made a commandment to us. The first commandment is to love him with all of our heart, all our soul, all our might. The second is like the first, and that's to love our neighbor as ourselves. So we've been talking a little bit about basic neighboring. Now I'm about to move us into advanced neighboring. Our scripture text today is going to be from Luke chapter 7, verses 37 through 50. And it reads like this. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him, so Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman, you heard that description, when a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. She knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet. She wiped them off with her hair. Then she was kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When a Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She is a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. This man thought this to himself. He didn't say it out loud. This troubles me. We don't think about what we think about. But the Bible says that Jesus knows, God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And Jesus verbally answered his thoughts. And Jesus answered his thoughts, Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned two people 500 pieces of silver to one, 50 to the other, but neither could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said, when he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears. She wiped them with her hair, and you didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped from kissing my feet. You neglected me the courtesy of olive oil on my head to anoint my head, but she anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven, so she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little also shows little love. Then Jesus said to this woman, your sins are forgiven. the men at the table among themselves says, who is this man? Goes around forgiving sins. And Jesus said to this woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So immediately, this woman was probably known in that town, but she was judged as being a sinner right off the bat. And then they were looking at Jesus like there was something wrong with him because he had something to do with this woman. When was the last time that religious people said things about you because maybe you were hanging out with some sketchy people? You can look all through the New Testament, all through the Gospels. Jesus encountered people from every demographic of life, but he never turned any of them away. He approached them all with the same message of love. And that message of love was what drew people to him, but in return, they also found salvation through him. That message of love, I'm going to say it again, drew people to him, but it was because of that message of love that they were introduced to salvation through him. So, could it be that people will be drawn to the love of God through us and in turn find God because of it? It's often been said that we are the only Bible that some people will ever read. What kind of scripture are they reading when they read me? Am I the kind of person that just because you're different than me, just because you look different than me, just because maybe you come from a different socioeconomic status than I come from, do I turn away from you? Do I shun you? Or do I show you love? Do I show you kindness? I will tell you this. Since a little fella, I've been in church, in and around church my whole life. And I have been part of door knocking and visitation and stuff, even when I was a little bitty guy with my dad. And you will reach a certain amount of people going out and knocking on doors. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. Handing out tracts, you'll reach a certain amount of people. But I'm an advocate of loving people. If you love somebody, there's something about love. You know it as well as I know it. If it's genuine, you are absolutely drawn to it. It is magnetic. And when we can convey the love of Jesus Christ. He loved me before I was lovable. He loved me regardless of where I was at. When I came to Christ, he took me just like I was. Dirty, nasty, stinky, covered in sin. It did not matter to him. He died for me just like I was. Check this out. He knew when he was going to the cross, exactly what he was doing. He said, you can't take my life, but I'm going to lay it down. And I'm laying it down for you. I'm laying it down so you can have eternal life. And guess what? He wasn't just talking to me. He wasn't just talking to you. John 3:16 is a scripture that every person that calls himself a Christian should be able to quote, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is every man, woman, and child that's ever stepped foot on planet earth and drew a breath. Everybody. Who am I to choose who should know God and who shouldn't? He loved me. He knew what a mess I was. He knew all of the mistakes that I had made and all the mistakes that I still have to make. He still chose to save me. He still chose to show me this awesome, glorious life that he has given us through Christ Jesus. What am I? Who am I that a king would choose to die for me? I will tell you this. I am no better than anybody on planet Earth. I am no better than my neighbors that live in my general vicinity, of whom I should know. I am no better than that stranger that's on the street that I've never seen before, that's approaching me and my family very rapidly. I'm no different. When I get cut, I bleed red just like you do, just like everybody else on this planet does. And when we can wrap our heads around that God loves us all, that he died for us all, that he wants us to love one another, what a different world we will live in. It's no question right now, the world that we live in is in very sad shape. We have all kind of animosities and all kind of stresses and all kind of tensions that are going on in our world today in 2020. I hope that it gets better in 2021. But I can tell you this, there is one way that you and I can absolutely make it better. If we'll just simply take what God said, what Jesus Christ said literally, and we begin to stretch ourselves, get out of our box, and learn to love those that are around us. Love, the love of God, will change the world. And it's not going to happen in one big kaboom, one big, huge thing. It's going to be us taking one small step at a time. I understand. I know that this is not comfortable. I know that it is hard for us to step out of what we've been surrounded by our whole lives. It's hard for us a lot of the times to change our opinions. Our parents have been guilty. I have been guilty of teaching my kids some things of, you know, stay away, stranger, danger, danger, stranger. I mean, there's all kind of things. And I'm not telling you that there's not some bad people in this world. There is. But I am telling you that Jesus Christ died even for those bad people. And if he would come to a cross and lay down his life for us all, why can't I reach out and maybe touch that person? Maybe there's something that I have to offer, which is Jesus Christ, that would absolutely change their life. Maybe it would change the course of their life. When you came in contact with Jesus Christ, did it change the course of your life? I will submit to you today that regardless of where you found yourself at when you came to know Jesus Christ, whether you was the most moral person on planet Earth or whether you was the dregs of society, when you met Jesus Christ and his love enveloped you, you were changed immediately. And I'm going to say all of us have been changed for the better. Now, some of us over time, maybe, and I'm not going to include myself in that, some people over time become a little cold, and some people kind of forget where they came from. I'm not telling you to live in the past. You can't live in the past. If you live in the past, you have no future. If you allow the past to be something that holds you, you'll never move forward. I'm telling you to look at your past and see how far God has brought you and what makes you special. Do you think if he can do that for you, that he can't do it for someone else? How awesome would it be if you were the tool that he was going to use to do that for somebody else? I will submit to you today, you are the tool. We are the tool. We are the body of Christ. If this world is going to change, it's going to begin in these shoes. It's going to start right here with me, one person at a time. I have no idea how many people are watching this or will see this, but I will tell you, if we could each one that hears this multiply it by one, 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 by one. The person that you reach, one more for them, one more for the person they reach, one more for the person they reach. We will absolutely change this world. And all we've done is what Jesus Christ asked us to do. And it's not really hard to love someone if we'll slow down long enough to do it. This is what I want you to do this week. So if you've got out and met somebody, you now have an acquaintance. You know their name. Now I want you to somehow or another in your busy schedule, maybe we have to use the art of removal, but I need you to take that acquaintance into a relationship. Find some way that you can spend some time with your new acquaintance. Remember, hurriedness is the enemy of love. I can't build a relationship in a hurry. It's gonna take time. I'm gonna have to purposefully, intentionally set out to make time to build a relationship. Well, Brother Spence, I don't have any time. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. What is more important to you than helping to change the world that we live in for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren? Yes, I know that Jesus Christ is soon to return. I've heard this message my entire life, and I believe today at almost 54 years old that he's coming sooner now than ever before, but I also know that he has commanded us to occupy until he comes, and we don't know when he's coming, so why don't we change the world that we live in today through him and his love? Let's take his message literally. Step outside of our box. Don't be afraid. Jesus has not given you the spirit of fear. Our Bible tells us that. But he's given us the spirit of confidence and of a sound mind. And we can be confident in him because he also promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. And if we step out to do something for him, he's got you. He's got your back. Well, what if they laugh at me, Brother Spence? So what? They laughed at Jesus. They spit in his face. Wouldn't it be weird if the Christians started showing up at the block parties? Now, I'm not telling you to go to the block party and participate in whatever they're doing. I'm just telling you to show up. Be friendly. Be a friend. Show the love of Jesus Christ, and you'll be surprised who we can reach. God bless you, and I hope you put this plan into action.
Awesome job. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Spence, for the wonderful word and great teaching. Part three of The Art of Neighboring. Wow, Pastor, what you think?
I'm still trying to take this in as we go to the advanced level. You know, it's one thing to reach out to the acquaintances. It's something else to get involved in the lives of people. And I like what he said because it's done in a safe way. I mean, there's danger out there. Yeah. But for us to reach out to people who aren't like us, to reach out to people who may not love us, it's pretty deep.
It makes it different. Similar to Sunday morning sermon, wasn't it? Just getting out to the others and those who you don't feel comfortable with. And the story he told about the man that was coming at his wife and kids, you know, and found out, hey, he wasn't. I'd be the same way he was.
Yeah, and there again, just like with Jesus' words, he goes back to hitting the religious people who think they have it all together. Yeah. And looking at how judgmental we can be and allow barriers to keep us from loving. You know, some of the quotes, I'm trying to do a little bit more with Facebook, but posted something about, you know, love changes us and love is the only thing that's going to change the world. I'm not talking about some John Lennon type of love. I'm talking about the love of Jesus Christ. That's what will change the world.
The only love of Jesus and the fact that he first loved us. Yeah. And Spence, he started wrapping things up with the fact that the only way we can really get there is through the love of Jesus Christ and through how he loved us and demonstrating that love toward others.
That's the key.
Yeah.
That when we go back and we remember either one of two things, If we are showing the love of Christ, it's because we remember what he's done for us, that he has accepted us just the way we were where we were. But then if we're not, maybe either we've forgotten what he's done, or maybe we've never experienced his love. But God will accept you tonight. You're watching this. Whenever you're watching it, the love of God will reach you exactly where you are. Love will change you, but he will accept you right where you are in the condition that you find yourself in tonight.
Yeah, and he even mentioned, maybe he said he didn't want to put himself in that category, but maybe there's some who've even lost that drive and that fire and have gotten a little on the cold side of it. I think it was actually a term he used. Maybe that's you tonight as well, and you need to just strike that match and get back into it.
Yeah, I've just glanced over the camera and I see the number that's on the screen, and you know how to get a hold of God. You know how to just talk to him as though we're talking to each other and talking to you. That's what he's looking for. But if you need some help, we're here. Yeah. We want to connect with you. Call or text the number that you see on the screen and allow us to pray with you that God will do a work in your life. And because that's what we want.
Mm-hmm. We want to partner with you in this walk you're living. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the words that you've spoken. I thank you for everything that you've done, God. God, I thank you, Lord, that maybe even 2 weeks or 2 months from now, somebody may hit on this, this link on our Facebook or our YouTube, and they're gonna watch this 27-28 minute teaching, God, and it's gonna do something impactful in their life. And I thank you for that. And God, let the number still there; they can call at that point in time. But Father, I just thank you for how your Spirit is drawing constantly through everything that's going on right now, even in this crazy world. Your Spirit still draws us. And God, if there's anybody that needs a touch from you tonight, Lord, who's watching this, that I ask that you would just move in their heart, God. Motivate them, God. Encourage them, God. God, just to take that step towards you. And if they do need encouragement, they do need some help, Lord, give them the strength and the courage to make that phone call so we can partner with them, God. Lord, we praise you. We give you glory for who you are. In Jesus' name.
Amen. What I keep hearing is, this is a now moment. Maybe you do not feel lovable. Maybe you feel like that you've done some things or are doing some things that God would never love you. He loves you. And he is approaching you right now within this now moment. Would you call out to him? Just
allow
surrender
him.
To
him. Yeah. Allow him to love you.
Because he's there, he does, and he wants you. He wants you. Don't wait to break the addiction. Don't wait to get out of the affair. Don't wait for your heart to change to become more lovable. You approach him right now, right where you are, and he will accept you. And his love will ignite something in you that will show towards others, and this world will be changed. It'll change through you, accepting him in this now moment. We love you, Bay Harbor. We're here for you. Look forward to seeing you Sunday.
Amen. See you. Have a good night.